Szeretettel köszöntjük akkor következő előadónkat, Lukács Ottiliát, aki Kolozsváron is tanult, Löwenben diplomázott, most a Pécsi Hittudományi Főiskolán docens, sok nyelven beszél, sok halott nyelven is, ugarati, akkád, arám, ilyeneket. Fő témája mostanában a Sabbát törvény és a két hónapos Dániel, a legeslegfontosabb. Wir begrüßen jetzt die Ottilia Lukács. Sie hat in Kolozsvár, Cluj, Rumänien studiert. In Löwen hat sie Diplom bekommen. Jetzt liest sie an der Theologischen Hochschule in Pécs, fünf Kirchen. Viele Sprachen spricht sie, alle möglichen Alten, Hebräisch, Ugaritisch, Akkadisch, Aramäisch. Ihr Hauptthema ist jetzt zurzeit Sabbat, Vorschriften und das Hauptsächlichste ist ihr 2 Monate alter Sohn Daniel. Ihr Titel, das Festbinden von Isaac oder wie weit kann Gott gehen? Isaac megkötözése, vagy meddig mehet a...
Köszönöm szépen, köszönöm a kedves szavakat, szeretettel üdvözlök mindenkit. Thank you very much, I would like to greet everyone. And I would start with the title of my presentation, Akedah, Binding of Isaac, or How Much May God Afford. Those biblical narratives which contain a dilemma could be divided into 2 groups. First, when the dilemma is found on the level of 2 human persons, one of the best known narratives from this type is the Good Samaritan. And second, when the dilemma evolves between God and man, to the latter group belongs the Binding of Isaac, Akedat Yitzhak, as the Jewish tradition calls, or the testing of Abraham, or the sacrifice of Abraham, as it is called by the Christian tradition. As the different names of the narrative suggest, we encounter here one of the most complex, astounding, and disputed narrative. The Akedah narrative concentrates on the relationship between God and Abraham, while comes around different theological and moral issues, such as Abraham must choose between his devotedness towards God and his fundamental moral obligation towards his fellow people, in this case towards his only son. Hence, it has a very complex reception history. It is beyond my purpose to offer a detailed presentation of it. Instead, I would like to concentrate on the dilemma or the conflict present in the narrative. Therefore, in what follows, I will highlight some of the narrative techniques applied in order to elaborate the dilemma of the Akedah. The narrated time includes 3 days, which presents a very simple and dense story with few protagonists. On the first day, the divine command, or more precisely, the divine request, according to the Hebrew grammar, kana, take please, is presented, which is followed by Abraham's silence. On the next day, obeying to this command or request, Abraham prepares the journey by taking the donkey, his son, his servants, and the means required for the sacrifice, and they leave. On the third day, they arrive to the site of the sacrifice. He leaves the servants and the donkey behind, and together with Isaac, they continue their journey on the mount to offer the requested sacrifice. Unfortunately, I don't have time to read together with you the whole text, but some handouts were spread over before my presentation. So, as it transpires from the text that I distributed before, Abraham obeyed the heart-wrenching divine command, take your son and offer him there as burnt offering without resistance. If we consider his act from the perspective of faith and trust in God's will, we are satisfied with Abraham's reaction as it reflects his unconditional love and devotion towards God. Nevertheless, if we stop for a little while at the command of offer him as burnt offering, namely we encounter here a shocking request, namely take, kill, and burn your only son whom you love. Even though in the beginning of the narrative the reader is informed about the character of the whole story, namely it is merely a test, the plot is immensely dreadful and unjust because none of the protagonists know this very essential information. Abraham is ready to fulfill this request without sharing the purpose of his journey with anyone. In this way, the entire tension and dilemma falls on the shoulder of Abraham. Pondering Abraham's drama, further questions come to the fore, like what can God ask from Abraham, his covenantal partner, and the prototype of the righteous believer? More precisely, how far can he go in the divine-human relationship? Moreover, is someone bound to obey the divine command, which is morally wrong and rejectable, such as children or human sacrifice? In order to understand the plot itself and its dilemma, we need to concentrate on the following questions. What does the text tell us? How does it tell us? Namely, what kind of narrative tools are applied? According to Fokelman, the readers need to acquire two basic attitudes to understand better the biblical narrative. First, one should consciously take aside his/her preconceptions, and second, he or she should acquire the attitude of beginners or uninitiated in order to approach the text from the fresh and intact perspective. So the questions: what does the text say, and how does it transmit its message? The Akedah narrative concentrates on God and Abraham, and hence the theological and ethical discussion encompasses their characters and roles. On the one hand, God's shocking and even brutal command, which has no counterpart in the biblical literature, and on the other hand, Abraham's reaction to this command, which is as shocking as the command itself. As mentioned before, the whole story is very simple. Nevertheless, the way of which is disclosed, namely the applied narrative techniques, provide the peculiarity and the literary value of it. Of the narrative methods, I shall discuss the structure, the silence, which governs the whole plot, and the applied syntax, which has to do with the lack of the emotions. The structure of the Akedah narrative. The Masoretic tradition includes 19 verses, whereas there are voices which assume that an older version of it was somewhat shorter, without the threefold promises found in verses from 15 to 18, which records the covenant-making processes. You can find the structure also in the handout. As it transpires from the structures, both versions highlight the center of the narrative with the help of chiastic structure, which is obviously the act of the Akedah, binding Isaac, placing him on the top of the altar, taking the knife to sacrifice him. This tense moment departs from the shocking and divine command and develops through the preparation of the journey and the journey itself. Apparently, the narrator opted for a special solution to present the plot. The whole story is defined by its three dialogues in the key moment. The first dialogue happens between God and Abraham. God calls him, and Abraham reacts immediately, answering, "Here I am, Hineni," and the heart-wrenching divine command is given afterwards to Abraham. The second dialogue between Isaac and Abraham is about the sacrificial animal. Interestingly, Isaac addresses his father, and Abraham answers with the same sentence, "Here I am," and seemingly he opts for a sidetrack while answering with him, "Adonai Yireh," namely God provides the sacrificial animal. The third dialogue happens between the angel and Abraham, which is designed to soften and at the end to solve the whole tension of the narrative. The silence present in the whole text. Regarding the narrative, we can perceive a sublime or heavy silence which does not remain unnoticed by the modern exegetes either. This silence is present in different levels of the narrative which contributes to its dramatic character. First, we do not find any comment on God's request or Abraham's reaction from the narrator. Instead, the narrator tells concisely the details of the event using merely verbs, like God tested Abraham, so Abraham rose, saddled his donkey, took Abraham, then built an altar, laid the wood on it, etc. At the end of the event, we do not read any comment either. Second, the most outstanding silence, however, comes from Abraham. God calls him, and he replies readily, as usually known from the previous narratives. Thereafter, the terrifying and unmistakably precise divine command is said: "Take your son, your only one, whom you love, Isaac, and go to the land of Moriah, and offer him there as burnt offering on one of the mountains that I shall show you." Strikingly, not only the content of this command is strange, but also grammatically, as the imperative, "please take," kana, has three subjects: your son, your only one whom you love, and Isaac. This unusual syntax as well underlines the shocking character of the command. After this command, however, there is no reply from Abraham. Obviously, Abraham's silent obedience provides the ethical and human side of the dilemma. Against the background of Abraham's call and the events presented previously, the rational logic would enter negotiations. For instance, a couple of pages before, we can read that Abraham was able to litigate with God over the sinful cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. And in this tense situation, he does not speak for Isaac. This command, however, is so precise as it does not require any further discussion. Obviously, there is no correct human reaction for an incomprehensible and seemingly unjust divine command, rather the speechless obedience. The shocking and deadlocked character of the present event is evident also from the fact that according to the biblical testimony, there is no more dialogue between God and Abraham. Moreover, even after the angel's intervention, Abraham obeys the new command and acts silently again. Although in all three dialogues of the narrative, Abraham answers the calls with the "Here I am" simple sentence, he is obedient and acts silently in the key events, prepares himself for the journey, then prepares the sacrifice on the mount. In the case of Abraham's silence, the most proper designation is the selective silence, as Kreider formulates. Abraham talks actually twice in the whole narrative. First, he instructs the servants to wait for him and Isaac while they are going to pray. And second, we can read the depressing dialogue between father and son. Isaac asks directly about the sacrificial animal, and Abraham, while being fully aware of what is going to happen, gives an evasive answer by stating that God provided. Before and after the dialogue, they go together in silence to the place of the sacrifice. Then the narrative approaches to its highest tension. Without words, Abraham builds the altar, places the wood on it, binds Isaac, places him on the top of the altar, takes the knife, reaches out his hands to sacrifice his son. This dramatic moment between father and son happens in silence, which is broken by the divine intervention through the angel. It is essential to highlight that after this moment, there is no more dialogue between Abraham and Isaac in the following narratives either. Moreover, the text states clearly that Abraham went back alone to the servants and returned alone to Beersheba, where he lived. There is no information given about Isaac's reaction to the happenings, and in fact, Isaac reappears only four chapters later in the Pentateuch. Third, we need to refer briefly also on God's silence, as after the initial address, there is no more words from him. Even in the key moment of the Akedah on the mount, God charges his angel with the intervention. This would suggest that even God was shocked or scared by his command. The Masoretic version of the narrative adds the second angelic address, which recalls the covenantal promise regarding the offspring in the first person singular, which makes difficult to decide who is the speaker, the angel or God himself. Nevertheless, this layer belongs to the editorial reworkings, and thus it bears little relevance for the present discussion. Fourth, Isaac's silence should also be addressed. Except for the dramatic dialogue between the father and son, Isaac remains silent in the entire narrative. He is the silent victim of the divine command who, similar to his father, does not show any objection or resistance while he is bound, placed on the altar, and Abraham's arm with the knife is reached out above him to be sacrificed. Finally, Sarah's complete absence from the whole narrative should be highlighted too. Abraham does not share with her the divine command or the purpose of their journey. This is very surprising, as before the Akedah story, she is involved all the events, even in those ones when she ends up in the harems of Egyptian and Philistine kings. Moreover, Abraham sends away Hagar together with his firstborn son Ishmael on Sarah's request. In sum, Abraham remains silent in the key events of the narrative, which provides the dramatic character and especially the dilemma or the drama of the text. Abraham's inner conflict between the divine law and the love towards the only son, as Joshua formulates. Going further in this train of thought, Joshua Neo looks for the questions of what does Abraham's sacrifice in fact obeying to God. Hence he arrives to a very appropriate conclusion that Abraham sacrifices his love towards his only son Isaac and his fatherhood or the father-son relationship, ending up to the dramatic situation. The absence of the emotions. Related to the sinus, the absence of emotions should also be discussed briefly, which is legitimately expectable in a narrative like the Akedah. Strikingly, we do not find any description concerning the thoughts or feelings of the protagonist. Instead, the whole narrative is presented merely with the helps of verbs. For instance, Abraham rose, saddled a donkey, took Isaac, built the altar, and at the end returned to Beersheba. In a nutshell, it is worth to mention two of the characteristic syntax of the Hebrew Bible. First, the applied tenses and moods structure the narratives into two main parts. The verbs in Victor Perfectum defines the structure of the text and provides essential information concerning the events. In fact, they form the backbone of the narrative. The verbs in Vecatal or Imperfectum or Catal Perfectum in turn provides the decoration or the background information which are not essential to understand the whole plot, but they are very interesting too. For instance, they can express the feelings, thoughts of the protagonist, can provide descriptions of the environment. And the second characteristic, the grammatical tools such as tenses and syntax design the narrative, the whole narrative. In the case of the Akedah, the author designs consciously the style of the text by using the tenses, especially the vaiktors. For instance, the morally less important parts of the events are expressed by the vaiktor, which speeds up the events, whereas those parts which bears more emphasis are slowed down by the dialogues. It is very important, however, to mention that the text lacks almost completely the verbs in vekatal or katal, which would provide the aesthetic character of the narrative. In this way, the narrator does not allow the reader to draw off from the plot even for a moment. Hence, due to the verbs in vaiktor, the speed of the narration is very fast, almost leaving the reader without breath. In this way, to a certain extent, the reader gets involved into the text and gets the opportunity to experience the emotions of one of the protagonists. The adult reader can identify the dilemma of Abraham, while the children or the young readers identify easier with Isaac. In fact, this type of involvement provides the unperishing actuality of the Akedah narrative. This might explain why Akedah catches the attention of the readers for centuries regardless of religious affiliation. Jean-Louis Kahn highlights this aspect, at the same time provides means for reading and interpretation when he states that the real meaning of Genesis 22 is not exactly the message or the moral lesson, rather the active participation of the reader. And therefore, the meaning of the text depends to a large extent on the quality of the reader's participation. And some concluding remarks. At the end of the presentation, we can pose the following questions. How and to what extent is the testing realized as it is suggested in the beginning of the narrative? Can we speak about merely a test by which the religious devotion and faithfulness of the righteous was tested? Can the contemporary reader be satisfied with the answer that Genesis 22 tells the innocent test of Abraham? Is not the Akedah narrative much more than a simple story of Abraham's testing? By the applied narrative techniques, the authors intended to involve the reader into the narrative and to give the floor to experience the drama of the story. By experiencing the tension and the dramatic event, either as parent or as child, one becomes the conscious partner of God. This leads to the reader to realize that the encounter with God changes the human person radically. And thank you very much for your attention.